Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to today's special segment in the afternoon satsang, where, you know, we will be celebrating, reminiscing and going back to that beautiful day 17 years ago when Bhagwan blessed the Radio Sai premises. He instilled his presence, installed his love, and, you know, in every inch and every brick, every curtain, every mic, every piece of equipment in this place, it's such a special day. And I really hope that even as we are beginning this afternoon satsang, all of you have had a chance to visit the Radio Sai YouTube channel and have a look at the latest video that has been released on Bhagwan's visit to the studio when he came and blessed all the people here, and he blessed all the activities going on here. It was an unforgettable day, and even to this day, I must admit that it is one of the things that we wish to see in order to keep ourselves focused, to know what is the vision for Radio Sai, what is the mission for Radio Sai. Everything has been so clearly delineated there. So how many ever times we revisit that divine visit, it will not be too much. And that is what we are planning to do today. And for that, as always, Brother Prem is there joining me, and both of us, having seen that video multiple times, having gone through the conversation that Swami had, the interaction that Swami blessed all the people with multiple times, having seen that, we will be sharing our thoughts and feelings. And we have also with us Brother Sai Prakash, who was actually there that day from the time Swami started climbing the steps till the time Swami climbed down the steps while exiting the studio, that beautiful 90 minutes that he was here. And in fact, Brother Sai Prakash was also part of the documenting team who shot the entire visit, immortalizing it for all of us, capturing those precious moments so that we can see and relive. And the reason we are taking it up today is because things that happened on that day, things that Swami spoke that day, are relevant not just for that day and not just for Radio Sai. It's relevant for all of us for all times to come. So with that introduction, let me offer our humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet and welcome both Prem and Sai Prakash. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram to all our listeners, and Sai Ram Sai Prakash, and Sai Ram Arvind.
Sai Ram.
It is a wonderful feeling. In fact, you know, a couple of months back when I was in Bangalore, one of the samitis had invited us. I was telling them that, you know, you could walk down the streets of Bangalore, you can look at the whole place, and like most of us do, complain and curse the traffic. Or if you could think of it, you know, there's no other city probably, when talking about Bangalore, where almost every street and every road Swami has driven past. Especially areas like Malleshwaram and Alsur and Jayanagar, where some of the old samitis are there. Just the thought that all of these roads have been visited by Swami so many times, Swami has driven past that. I mean, if a city like Bangalore is like that, which Swami has visited from the 1940s, you can imagine what Prashanthi Nilayam is like. And it really overwhelms you, you know, how many people can claim that they are sitting in a place, in a workspace, which has been visited by Swami, right? And we are talking week after week and every day, every recording which happens, sitting in that same space which has been sanctified by Swami's presence. As I think we must have mentioned this before, you know, one of our teachers in Vrindavan used to say, you know, when we first joined Vrindavan, the blessing of being in any space like this where Swami is blessed, you know, if you go to a temple like Tirupati or any of these big temples in India, we are always very keen to get that prasadam which is served at the end of it, right? And it's so precious. You bring it back home and, you know, you share it with all your relatives and friends and neighbors. And Tirupati Prasadam has its own, you know, glory attached to it. You say, do you know where the kitchen where the Prasadam is made? It is like almost a few kilometers away from the main shrine probably, or a few meters, however it is. You would say, you look at this hostel kitchen. How many hundreds of times Swami has walked in this very kitchen? Swami has walked to the earth. Swami has walked to the place where it's being served. Can any prasadam in the world be more than what is being served from this kitchen? right? And that's how it is. You could talk about any other broadcasting station which probably is singing carols from the Vatican or chants from any other holy space. But how many can claim that, you know, you're actually sitting next to a chair which Swami came and sat and for 1 hour and gave direct instructions? I think that's what we'll try to dwell upon. It's not like Swami has started it and he has, you know, kept the ball rolling in that sense. But given the right direction in the sense of what he is expecting of this place, if you want to please Swami, what has to be done? So I think it is so very overwhelming to think that we, week after week, Swami has permitted us to sit in that same place. And, you know, I wouldn't say that we speak about Swami, and we can only say that Swami has allowed us to sit here and Swami inspires us and, you know, speaks his words through us.
If you just think about this entire visit on 29th August 2002, August 29th, Swami visited this place. I think broadly you can think of it as two segments. The first part is the inauguration. And as he came in and he walked through the different bays where each of us were explaining to Swami the kind of work that's going on. And the second half is actually when he sat down and he spoke to all of us. So I think if you look at it as two parts, two segments, the one is the visit where he's going through, and then second is where he actually sat and spoke. So I think as we are going through the points, there's going to be an overlap of both these parts, his visit and the, you know, when we are not going strictly in order, in the order of his entering and going past. So I think we can.
When I see the video, one thing that strikes me is, all the people here, you included, and the others who were there, the early staff of Radio Sai, you know, who are our seniors, all of them are very eager to show this latest technology that is there.
Right.
You know, it's all amazing, fascinating things. But when you look at Swami, it doesn't look like Swami is fascinated by the technology.
Correct.
If possibly we would not have observed it at that point in time, that is on 29th August 2002. But now when we look at it, it's almost like Swami is happy and exuding and, you know, he's enthusiastic about the enthusiasm that is being exhibited by the people. He's not as such fascinated by the technology because whether it's audio mixing or the video mixing or the multi-track recording or the replicating, anything that is being told, you know, that is the latest technology at that point in time. But when that is being told to Swami, Swami is like, okay, very nice, very nice, very nice. But his joy and enthusiasm is more about being with the people around. I mean, that is what...
Yeah, that was something which was very beautiful because a lot of the equipment were new at that time. And they were all bought for the occasion, and Swami blessed the audio mixer which was to be installed in the mandir. He blessed the Sony cameras, PD-150, two cameras, and then he blessed the boom mic, and then he was shown all the equipment, and while he was coming in, he saw the DLT, these are linear tapes which can hold data. So all these things he was seeing, and one specific comment he made about the replicator. So when he came inside, there was a replicator, and one of our boys, he requested Swami to press a button. So Swami actually pressed the button of that replicator. So the idea was...
The thing is, in 15, 16 years, the technology has changed so much, you might have to tell what a replicator,
is. People may not know what's a replicator.
Exactly. So this is a stack of DVD writers.
Right.
So in 2001, when we got the first DVD writer... It was quite expensive. It was about 32,000 rupees at that time.
Well, 32,000 rupees means about $600.
At that time, in 2001. So, it was that rare. Now, we don't have DVDs.
Right.
So, this replicator was actually imported from Singapore. And the idea was that we would, the moment the master DVD would be ready, instantly you could get 7 other copies. So, it had 8 drives. And you put the master, and the others were known as the slave drives. So the moment you put the master DVD, and it'll take, it's not real time, so it will take something like 10 minutes. And it'll write, print all the 7 DVDs, and all of them come out together at the same time. So that was something nice to see all the trays coming out together. And then everybody was kind of fascinated with this replicator and all the things. But Swami's point of view was something very unique. There was a replicator, and then Mr. Gopal Srinivasan, who were actually, offered all this equipment, donated all this equipment, he was explaining to Swami that Swami, because 2001, we had the birthday celebration, and the DVDs were actually sent to Singapore to stamp and replicate.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we made the master DVD of the birthday in 2001, and the DVD was sent to Singapore, and it was stamped and replicated there and brought here. And then it was put up for sale. So in 2002, when Swami came, already the replicator had come into the market. So he was telling Swami that unlike the last year when we had to send it to Singapore, we can do it here. Swami's only observation was, oh, you need not send it outside. You can do it here itself. Then it's good. Do it. It was such a beautiful observation. We are looking at the equipment. Swami says, okay, you need not send it outside. You can do it here. So I think this is a very beautiful lesson. If you see all Swami's institutions, if you see every project that Swami has started, what can you do here? Start with what you can do. I mean, you had a small car garage that became a hostel for the Vrindavan College, and you had a small room, you had the Ishrama school. Yes, that became the college for some time. So with available premises, with available people, resources, he always, so in the same way when he came here, he said, if you can do that, if you can do it here, that is good. I just want to add one more thing, because related to technology. So then after Swami sat here, Mr. Gopal Srinivasan, with a lot of enthusiasm, they had actually put up a chart. They put up a chart which said that, Swami, we are going to do live darshan, web darshan. Millions of people around the world will see it. So in 2001, doing a live web darshan on the internet was very new. Was very new because internet itself was new. And there was, of course, to put it in perspective, no YouTube at that time. Imagine life before YouTube. Can you believe that? And so they were showing this chart and all that. And they said, Swami, we will do it. And Swami said, no, don't be in a hurry. Let the boys learn. Let the boys learn and let them take their time. And slowly when they learn, then you can do it. Don't be in a hurry. Swami's words.
You know, when you said so many things, that DVD replicator, for instance, now CG, when you are telling about the DVD replicator, I'm not at all fascinated because it's already obsolete now.
Exactly.
So I'm just thinking, when I am looking at an event 15 years down the line, 17 years to be precise, what was not available anywhere else in India, it has been specially imported for this, and which was fascinating.
Right.
In fact, if we see the video, quite some time has been spent, the divine time, in explaining to Swami about, you know, the replicator, what a magical thing it is and all that.
Correct.
But today, I am not at all amazed at it. 17 years down the line, it has become obsolete. I was just thinking, we know Swami is Kalayanamaha, Kala Kalayanam, he is beyond time. For him, you know, no wonder he is not fascinated by this at all. Because 1,000 years down the line, the technology he is... You know, it is there. It is there in the womb of time. So that is not something which is fascinating him at all. And that is why I think, you know, Swami's focus always is not about this. He would, in fact, sometimes say this technology is like trick knowledge. I mean, don't get so obsessed by it. It's not about that. Because when we look today, all the original equipment that Swami has blessed today holds value only because he has blessed.
Right.
Otherwise, where do we use them at all? Functionally, they are all obsolete. So it becomes very clear now when we see the video or even when we go through the transcript of all that transpired on that day, that Swami's focus was not about the latest technology, the greatest equipment or the best skill sets. He definitely has something much, much deeper, which is very spiritual in nature. Otherwise, naturally, why would Swami spend that much time for anything which is not spiritual in nature?
Now, you know, talking about technology and all that, we've heard so many of those stories, especially one of the sections when Swami saw when he came here was the section for photographs, right? Because that was a time when everything was in the same place.
Correct.
And we've narrated and we've heard stories of, you know, the Chitravati days when apparently there was one very beautiful incident where a photographer comes and Swami permits him to take a lot of photographs. And because Swami was permitting and because Swami was posing, he, you know, went to town with it. And by the time it was in the evening when Swami would actually go out for the Chitravati session, he had exhausted the role that he had, the film that he had.
Okay.
And I think as they were going towards Chitravati, Swami stopped and Swami said, why don't we all take a picture together? And turned to the photographer and he said, Swami, the film is exhausted.
Mm.
Swami said, why you didn't get any extra film and all that? Mm. And then Swami started inquiring, what is the film that you use? And all that. And he started giving the specifications of what he was using. And the next moment, Swami waved his hand and materialized that film, which was meant for him, and gave it to him. And then, you know, Swami posed with everybody and all of that. And then at the end of it, Swami turns to him and says, give me back my film. He's thinking that, you know, it's gone now. I got some nice pictures and everything is gone. So very hesitantly, he kind of opens the camera and gives the film to Swami. And Swami standing there, he takes the, you know, negative, holds it behind his back with one hand. And with the other hand, he starts distributing the printed photographs. You know, and when that's how obsolete technology or studio or anything else is for Swami. And, you know, the many, many episodes like that we've heard of.
Two other small references to technology.
Right.
When Swami actually came here, just came to mind. One was when Swami was sitting here in this very hall. He looked at these fire extinguishers.
Fire alarms.
Fire alarms.
Okay.
And, you know, fire alarms, sensors basically, fire sensors. And so he says, what are those? Are they cameras? He asked. Are they cameras? Swami, fire this thing. And then he made a very interesting comment. And he said, see, in this place, there are so many mics. There is so much of equipment. There is all this is there. So, anything that you do, everything is getting recorded. So, you should not fight. So, he said, if you all fight, everything will get recorded. Of course, you know, if there's a lot of depth in that sentence, because it's not that physically it's going to get recorded. You're like, if the mic is off, if your system is off, it's not going to get recorded in that sense. But every word spoken, every feeling, every attitude, I think, is recorded in some dimension. And he says that in this place, don't fight.
See, I totally, you know, I'm very thrilled by what you said now, because when we look at all these temples and places of worship, why is it that going to the Vithala idol in Pandharpur is so thrilling? We have so many Vithala idols everywhere. So, of course, one part is the history of the place and the story behind. But I also think that because of the history, a lot of devotees congregate there. And, you know, it is said that the feet of the Panduranga Vithala idol at Pandharpur, the feet of the Lord has almost merged into the stone. Because of the number of times people have taken Padnamskar of that idol, you know. So, it just shows the number of people who have come there and poured their devotion and feelings to the Lord. Now, that charges up the place in an entirely new dimension. I feel that is the reason why these holy spots become holy. Apart from the history, it's also because of the congregation, the samashti coming together there and pouring all their feelings. And finally, it stays there as vibrations. And when you go there, you say that hey, there is something in the air. There is something about this place. That something is nothing but the collection of the vibrations and feelings and all the things of the devotees put together. In that sense, I feel, you know, when you say that this Radio Sai also is a temple. It's a temple, and that's why Swami said that treat this place as such. What you would do in a temple, you go to a temple to offer your worship, offer your love for Bhagwan, you know, find expression for your devotion. That is what must happen here. And I think with that we are coming to the crux of why Swami did build or allow the Radio Sai to be built, for that matter anything. We had discussed this earlier also, whether it is the hospital or any other organization, why it has to be built is because it is a place where you find expression for your devotion. you grow spiritually. That's why our hospitals are called temples of healing. Why the word temple there? Because it is a place where it is filled with devotion and spirituality. So I think when Swami is not emphasizing on the technology, it's because technology is just happens to be there. That's all. It is just an instrument for you to find expression for your own love and devotion for God.
And absolutely. And, you know, talking about Swami saying that everything gets recorded here and talking about the vibrations. I mean, Swami would say that, in fact, when Swami had gone to Badrinath and all that, Swami would say that, you know, these are all places which are sanctified because of the devotion of the people have had towards the deity more than the deity itself. Even the deity draws its power from the devotion that people have expressed. In that sense, I mean, probably these four walls are so unique that, you know, how many hundreds of devotees have sat here and recollected Swami.
Correct.
You know, Swami has touched their lives in innumerable ways, and how many of them have had the opportunity to sit here, or rather we've had the opportunity to listen from them about their association, right from the devotees who've been coming from the 40s, 50s, 60s. All of them have, you know, and many times those episodes never narrated. A lot of them would share things because that was one thing with devotees in the earlier years. They would be very protective of their relationship with Swami and very hesitant to share. I think after they realized that this is a studio set up by Swami and Swami said people will share their journey with Swami, and because of that some of them opened up, and I think even in that sense this space has been a place where a lot of them have opened up their hearts and shared some of those treasures. And
one thing which comes to mind is, of course, when Swami is talking about do not fight, there is another aspect to that. And I learned that lesson in a different way. That was 1 year before. That is, not 1 year, in 2002, early 2002,
mm-hmm.
March or April, Swami was in Vrindavan. And as I mentioned, 2001 was when we sent the DVDs out.
Right.
To Singapore and all that. Then 2002, when Swami went to Vrindavan, March or April, one of those months, we had actually done an audio CD here,
mm-hmm.
in the studio. So that there was a Veena recital by the principal of music college, and there was also singing of Tyagaraja Kritis. Okay, so Ramu Bhakti Samrajyam or something, the name of the, because that was one of the kritis. So they had selected five kritis, not necessarily the Pancharatnas. They had selected five kritis. And we had recorded that CD here, initial days. Hmm. And so we were going to Vrindavan for darshan. Swami was there. And so we all were told any new things that you want to show Swami. Like some of the boys who were working in the shopping center, they brought out some t-shirts with some, designs that they had made, specialized design. So they brought the t-shirts, they brought some mugs. Then we took this CD. So, because we had recorded the CD here, and I had to design the top cover of the CD. So the top cover of the CD, of course, it was from a product from people working in the music college. So I thought a picture of the music college should be there. Then it was Tyagaraja Kriti. So a painting of Tyagaraja should be there. Now we have to connect these two. Tyagaraja painting is there, music college picture is there.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought Swami should come somewhere in between. So what I did was I put the Tyagaraja image in the front and then put Swami's photo as if Swami is standing right behind Tyagaraja, and then put the beautiful architecture of the music college museum where you have all the musical instruments that was inaugurated in the year 2000. So I had done this composite in the very early days of Photoshop, and so when we have Swami's photo standing right behind Tyagaraja and kind of listening to the song that in the cover, what happened was Swami's hair was coming where all the coconut trees were there. So there were coconut trees in the music college. So all the coconut trees were there, and I wanted the clutter to be off. So what I did was I just put a nice halo around Swami's hair. So behind Swami's hair, put a big halo.
Yellow light.
Yellow light just emanating from Swami's hair. And it was not too blatant. It was subtle, but yet it was there, you could see. And so I thought, oh, this is a beautiful design. We went to Vrindavan. We offered the CD to Swami. The moment Swami held the CD, he said, who has done this cover design? Yes, who has done this cover design? So then I told, yes, so, Swami. Then Swami said, why did you put light behind Swami's hair? Did you see it? Did you see it? He asked. I said, no, Swami, I didn't see. He said, then why did you put? So I thought that is a very, very important direction for all of us. Like one direction when he came here, he said, do not fight. But this direction is also very important in the sense, don't exaggerate. Don't tell things which you have not seen.
Experienced.
What you have not experienced. Don't tell things which, you know, it's some imaginary thing. Go by what you have experienced, what you have seen, what you have understood. Because aprapya manasaha saha, whoever says whatever they say, you can never adequately describe the Lord. But we are able to describe to the extent we are capable of. So,
you know, that little thing, if we couple with what Swami said during his talk here, saying that, see, I have got nothing to gain from the studio.
Right.
It really makes it so clear that Swami didn't set this up to glorify him or, you know, spread his message. Because even while he's speaking to everyone here, he's saying it repeatedly that, you know, Gopal, that is Gopal Srinivasan, right. He's so enthusiastic about taking Swami's message to the world. And it's almost like Swami is saying that I'm just enabling him. That's
right.
All. He wants it and he feels that his devotion towards Swami can grow and he can offer seva to Swami in this manner, so I'm allowing him.
Correct.
It's not that I'm getting people for the sake of the studio. It's like I'm getting the studio because some people can grow spiritually. It is so clear that Swami's objective in setting up Radio Sai Studio is perfectly in sync and in line with his avataric objective, which is to make people grow in love for Swami, grow in love for God, grow spiritually. That's all. Because if we look at Radio Sai as such, it is set up so that the listeners, the staff working here, the volunteers, and anyone associated with it can further their own sadhana and grow in their love and devotion to Swami. If that is achieved, then it is almost like Swami is, you know, the way he is looking at all these technological marvels of those time, it's like, it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's a boom mic or a lapel mic or, it doesn't matter. When you're doing what you're doing, has your love for Swami grown? If it is, then awesome. If that is not grown, don't show me these mics, cameras, it doesn't matter. I mean, that is not important. So, that becomes so very clear and, as you said, that is why also Swami is saying, you don't exaggerate. I don't need you to, you know, market me or make me palatable to everyone. Nothing like that. You just come and you share. And you share it because in sharing, you are growing.
Exactly.
If you are not going to grow, then don't need to share also. No, I don't want any of this. That's why Swami categorically states there that I have got nothing to gain from this. But because all of you seem to be gaining from it and seem to grow closer in your love for Bhagwan, you have got so much energy, so much enthusiasm. In order to give expression for that devotion and enthusiasm, I'm starting this.
Right.
It just reminds me of how Professor Kasturi himself comes to Swami. You know, in the first interaction that Swami has with him, Swami literally lures him with this opportunity to write his biography. Swami says, you can write Baba's Jeevana Charitam. Being a historian, few hours in Swami's presence, he knew that, you know, this is a phenomenon which is most interesting to write about, if not anything else, to be devoted and all that comes later. And he would say that, you know, Swami says this in 1948, I think, right?
48, yes.
When he first comes to Swami. He also starts writing the book, but for 20 years or something like that, the book doesn't see the light of the day. Because Swami is not interested in the book. In fact, he, in Loving God, he writes a very, very beautiful incident, which I think is literally symbolizes or is a message to everybody who is trying to spread Swami's name and message in any form. He writes about, you know, he's preparing the article for Sanatan Sarathi or the final copy of Sanatan Sarathi of that month. And he was about to take it to Swami for a final look. And I think those were the days when the press or wherever that office was in East Prashanti, where the old hostel is right now. So he had actually come out of the press room or whatever that is, and he was going through the manuscript one last time before he could go to Swami. And apparently Swami was in the balcony in Mandir. And he could see Professor Kasturi where he was.
Mm.
And just he was going through the manuscript, one person walks up to Professor Kasturi and asks him something. And Professor Kasturi speaks to him for 2-3 minutes and then he, you know, dismisses him and comes to Swami. So he comes to Swami and gives the manuscript. He says, Swami, this one's Sanatan Salti. Swami takes it and puts it aside. What did that person ask you?
Mm.
I saw you talking to somebody. He said, no, Swami, some devotee was just inquiring something. No, what did he ask? Tell me, what did he ask? So Professor Kasturi said, Swami, he was asking if there is any book on Swami. Right? And he has written half the book, but Swami has not yet given him the permission to start printing it. So, probably he would have got irritated that people are asking and Swami is not permitting that. Then Swami asked, what did you say?
Mm.
So I said, Swami, as of now, there is no book on Swami. That is what I told him. Then Swami told him, wrong answer. You should have told him that Swami cannot be understood through books.
Oh.
Right? And he was so thrilled by that. This is how Swami allowed him to start writing the book on Swami, right? After having the understanding that Swami cannot be understood through books, you're not going to explain Swami to anybody through books, through words, through any kind of human effort that you're going to do. As you're saying, it is, when you look at somebody's life like Professor Kasturi's, it was Swami pulling Kasturi to him through that opportunity of writing about Swami. And in that sense, every institution of Swami is only so that those who are involved in the work and those who are receiving that work are only drawn to Swami. And I think that that is what every institution set up by Swami is all about.
See, naturally, because in a worldly sense, if you see, there cannot be a bigger demotivation than that. You're going to take up some task which you think is Herculean and is actually no use of that. Means you're thinking that the whole world will get to know about Swami. It's of no use, but it's for your benefit. And yet, we know that Professor Kasturi is the biographer of Bhagwan and he actually wrote it. So, very clear, Swami has no other agenda other than each individual's growth. And that can be seen even, in the video when we look at it. One of the things that Swami does is, when all these pieces of equipment are being shown, he is just saying, santosham, romba santosham, chala santosham. Because I think Mr. Gopal Srinivasan's mother tongue is Tamil. So Swami is conversing in Tamil. So while there it's only, okay, happy, 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 fine. When it comes actually to the people manning it, be it the staff from the initial staff of Radio Sai and the Book Trust, or the staff from TVS Electronics who have helped in setting up the studio, Swami goes into the name of each person, where he is working, what he is working in. It was very touching to see that, the person who, when Swami was shown the latest equipment, which is not there in India also, okay, fine. But the smallest person who has done, a person who has been doing the engineering here, a person who has drawn the plans, a person who has worked, every little thing, Swami goes and finds out the name of each person, gets each person introduced. When we sing that song, which Swami says this, to the Hyderabad youth, Swami had said, this is the song that encompasses my entire life message. And which is that Telugu song, which is Sai Mata Biddala Mandaram. In that song, there is one line which says, Deshamante Matti Kadu, Deshamante Manushuloi. Meaning a country is not made up of mud, a country is made up of its people. And it is symbolic, of course. It just means that people are very, very valuable. And innumerable times Swami has exhorted in his discourses that human beings are more valuable than all the wealth of the world. And that is what Swami has done always, He might have started a school in a shed, as Sai Prakash said, but the amount of time that he spent with the initial teachers and students, it's phenomenal. How much importance? I mean, if today you ask a normal human being to set up a school, I think the amount of time he or she would spend in setting up infrastructure versus spending on human resources would be vastly different from what Swami did. Swami's was 100% emphasis on human resources. His emphasis was so beautiful and so fantastic in strategy that, teachers were ready to teach in sheds. Students were ready to learn in sheds. I mean, it is so beautiful when you think of it that the way Swami approached it, people said, we are ready to do this anywhere. On the road, we are fine. As long as you're doing it. Because on the other hand, we have top, you know, top class infrastructure facilities where staff and students go on strikes. They don't attend. Even so, in the studio also, I mean, when he came to inaugurate it, Swami made it so very clear that the greatest resources for Bhagwan is the people. Because as we discussed so far, the whole studio itself is set up so people can grow spiritually. So it is natural that Swami gave that kind of importance. In fact, later on, also when, you know, Brother Rameshwar Prushti, who is currently the chief engineer for the Central Trust, at that time, Swami asks him, what are you doing? He says, Swami, I am working in Central Trust. Swami says, what is Central Trust? Trust in the center. Swami points to his heart and he says, trust in the center. So Swami says, all are Central Trust only. When you have that trust, that is the trust I want you all to have. It's so beautiful. So there also, you know, Swami is not saying that, oh yeah, Central Trust means, I mean, we generally have that Central Trust is a supreme body. But Swami says, no, what is Central Trust? It is not the document sheet that is signed. It is not the assets. It is not the buildings. Central Trust is those people who have come with trust in the center, you know. So all this makes it so very clear that for Swami, it is the human resource that's so vital. And these are lessons that we should incorporate in our day-to-day life, not just at Radio Sai, wherever we are working, whatever we are doing. It's so important to know which is the most valuable treasure, which is the human treasure.
Man management. When Swami came here, one more point which he made, which was very, very powerful. He said, there are several institutions. There are several institutions and several centers. He didn't name anything, but he said, where only sight and hearing is important. Only two of the senses are important, like hearing and sight. So if it is audio, ears. Video, eyes. So he says only eyes and ears are important. But mana samasta, in our
organization
setup, it is not like that. All five are important. He said, drishti, hearing, smell, tongue, and then touch.
What you feel, yes.
What you feel. He said, what you speak, what you touch, what you feel, what you see, what you hear, everything is important. All five are important. So, you know, that was very powerful because Trikaran Shuddhi, what Swami says, and then, you know, everything has to be pure. The beauty about any endeavor that Swami takes up starts small, step by step it grows. It took 25 years for the avatar to set up the first mandir. He would have done it in his, the moment he declared, he set up a small shed, then step by step he took. Then in 1956-57 he set up a general hospital, and in 1990 he set up the super specialty hospital. But the beauty about it is purity of the means versus the ends. So he's always looking at, like when we say the human resource is the most important, he would give so much importance even to the bhajan singers. Because he says that if you are pure, that purity will reflect in what you sing. So now when we are working here in Radio Sai, the more we contemplate and we purify ourselves, only then the right expression will come.
Talking about just what Swami was telling, I just happened to go through one of our articles where, I think it was the year 92-91, where, I don't know exactly, I might be getting this wrong, ISO 601, one of the standards.
6001,
I think must be one of that. That was catching up in the Indian industries and Indian factories and all that, where you overall improve the quality of production and all of that. So, since that was the in thing at that moment, a lot of the MBA boys wanted to do projects on that. So, I think in 91 and 92, when they had gone for industrial visits and all that, one of the professors in the business school were telling Swami that, Swami, this is what the boys want to do and all that. And then a discussion started on this concept called TQM, or Total Quality Management, right? Because that was the subject under which all of this comes. So then Swami started asking the students and the professors there, what is TQM? Right? And they gave all their business-related definitions and using jargons and all of that. And then Swami gave a very beautiful explanation. Swami said, TQM is nothing but Trikarna Shuddhi. Oh. He's saying when there is purity of thought, word and deed, and unity in thought, word and deed, automatically there'll be quality. And, you know, they were like very surprised with this definition that Swami gave. But then Swami went on to explain, you know, how it is that where you start by when you have a customer, when you want to give the right thing to the customer, you let that thought, you know, flow through your the process itself. And they were like so thrilled by it. And apparently the next day or something, they went to the industrial visit. And there, that person, when the industry leaders were asking them about total quality management, they gave this explanation that Swami gave and they were completely thrilled. They said, this exactly is what is required. You know, nobody has defined it this way. And this makes it all so clear, because all the time we are talking about TQM as a industry standard, in the sense like when people look at you, people should say that this is top quality. No one is thinking about, you know, when I'm giving to somebody, it should be the best quality. And, you know, from Swami's point of view, it is always that when you talk about Trikarna Shuddhi, when you talk about all the senses being aligned, it is not only about people receiving the content in all senses, but the people who are working with the material, who's being the channel, all of that is involved. Is, I think, it's a very, very profound thing that Swami is saying.
It is so, I'm sorry, it is so beautiful, again, when you say the TQM, because usually what is seen by the people is only the words and deeds. The thoughts, nobody is privy to. Similarly, also when you think of a company level, in a company, the product and services that they are delivering, that they are stating that they will deliver and what they are actually delivering, only these two can be seen and measured by people. You know, what is the intention behind that, that nobody is privy to. But believe it or not, when we look at, you know, having some experience in looking at some of the companies in India, what becomes very clear is only those companies that actually had at least some purity in the intent. You know, nobody can be absolutely selfless. There is a kind of selfishness that comes in, the profit motive that is there. But when there is purity in that and when there is transparency, those are the companies that have actually stood the test of time. There have been so many companies that have come and grown and become huge and very successful. But then, you know, you see that such companies in a matter of months, years, or sometimes even weeks, collapse into nothingness and they are gone, wiped out from the face of whatever, the books, the earth, everything. Because possibly these companies that were successful spoke a language and did things which appeared to be perfect and pure, but when the intention somewhere within was, let me try to make as much money as possible, quickly make my bucks and quit. Even though you manage to fool a lot of people for a lot of time, ultimately it goes bust. The things that stand the test of time, when you look at some of the companies that have been there around for 100 years, 200 years, these are the companies that have got very, very sound philosophies, where It is something that is not possibly seen directly by the customer, but it makes a deep impact. And that is why I think, like as Sai Prakash said, Swami takes a lot of time to build this up, because it is not about delivering. You know, if Swami wanted, like Gopal Srinivasan sir is asking in the video, by 2003 we will have Web Darshan. You know, if Swami wills, it would have happened. But I think more than what is being told and what is being shown, what is being felt, what is the intention, what is the motive. I think if any of us would feel that I am doing this to spread Swami's glory, no, that is not the thing. Till it gets deeply rooted within you that you are doing this as your own vehicle of growth towards Swami, and whatever rest of the thing happens is only a side benefit, I am ready to wait till then. Because I am not interested in any of the things but in the individual growth. I think that is the reason also why, you know, Swami took this so slowly and scaled it up as and when, the individual growth happened.
In 2000, I think 3 or 4, not able to remember exactly, one day on the veranda, so Swami called me and he asked, "Entra, why do you keep moving that camera this way, that way, this way, that way? Em chestavu ivanni pettukoni camera itu attu tipputu untavu. You keep turning the camera this way and that way. What will you do with all this?" Then I said, "Swami, we will show it to devotees and they will be very happy." "Oh, devotees will be happy? Then it's all right, you do it. I mean, doesn't Swami know that it is going to be shown, but he wants me to know that you are given the privilege to stand there in the hall. You are, when everybody is seated, you are standing there and you are given the privilege only so that you can serve the devotees. Yes, you are, you, and there is no sense of ego. You're like, I am a great videographer, so I will stand there in front of Swami. No, then next day you'll be out. So it's a question of, like you said, the intention, the thought. So Swami said, you are standing there to serve.
When you were saying this, again, I remembered one more thing that Swami said while sitting here. They said, Swami, it was told to Swami that all this, whether it's photos or whether it's the audios, all of them can be technically corrected and the enhanced version can be made available as soon as possible to devotees and they will be happy. You know, Swami said, that is very good. It is not important that just you are happy. You should show it to the people outside as well. You know, that was another beautiful point that Swami made here, that of course, with the videos, the photos, whatever that comes here, you will definitely be thrilled and touched. But it's not enough at that. You have to share that. You have to share that with 10 other people. And you know, I have a very personal attachment to this statement of Swami. Somehow, you know, after I joined studio in 2007, I just felt that this is a great opportunity because, you know, I was thinking like, you know, a company when it does its distribution of its products, it has its wholesalers, distributors, retailers. So the wholesaler gets lot of products from the factory or from the company because he's distributing it to so many people. The retailer has less. So I was thinking that here's an opportunity that I'm getting to become possibly like a wholesaler, you know, who can distribute it to more people. And the more you do, the more you get. And it has been my life's experience that the more genuinely and honestly that I have tried to share Swami's love with as many as possible, even physically from Bhagwan, I have received a proportionate increase. It has been so beautiful. I remember it because, you know, when that moment in 2011 came, when Swami left and all of us were shattered, at that point in time, the only thing that came as a supporting hope for me was, you see, Swami might be gone physically, but when you share and spread Swami's love, proportionally to how much you share and spread, Swami will be available and he will give you chances. You have seen that happening. So, you know, that is what actually made me come out of that sorrow with a resolve that from now on, let me try to take, you know, this sharing of Swami's love to greater levels, because that will be the best way to receive Swami's love also. And that, you know, that becomes so clear that when we share, when we grow more, it automatically comes back to us also manifold. That has been a very special experience for me here. That's why it's not only about we celebrating with joy and enjoying what Bhagwan has given. We have to package it and try to present it to the world as beautifully as possible so that they also share in this joy.
I think we'll, dear listeners, take a short break and we'll resume with our discussion of whatever Swami had said when he visited the studio here. Sai Prakash was telling about the first CD, I think, yeah, the opportunity to give Swami. I think one of the blessings that we have had is some of the productions Swami has physically heard, Swami has physically seen. I think this is one of the early ones from that CD, I think, Ramabhakti Samrajyam.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So one track from that, don't go away. On the other side of it, we'll resume our discussion on what Swami had said here.
After that slokam, we now proceed to the main program of songs. The first one is in the ragam, Shuddha Bangala, and is set to Adithala. The meaning of this song is as follows.
In the transcript, you know, Swami said,
is the empire of those who attain. It's
not important that just you are
my
happy.
Mind. The very darshan of those people is the source of supreme ananda. Rama Bhakti is the empire of those who attain its enjoyment, O mind. And I cannot describe the joy. It can be known only by one's own experience. In this great uproar of these three worlds, created by the play of the Lord, whom Tyagaraja adores, Rama Bhakti is the empire of those who attain its enjoyment, O mind.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We were going through the 29th of August 2002 and some of the beautiful things that happened there. We have done it before also, I think maybe in 2013 in an afternoon satsang. So, Prem and myself went through that satsang to ensure that we don't repeat any of the points we have said there. But in spite of doing that, I don't think we will be able to cover everything because the clock in the studio already shows 1:35. We just got another 20-25 minutes. But we'll try to go through some more points like this. And we definitely have Brother Sai Prakash here who will remember something that Swami said or something that Swami did with every statement we make here. Another thing, you know, that Swami very clearly emphasized was about unity. We were speaking about purity and unity in thought, word and deed. That is at the individual level, but Swami also spoke about unity at two other levels. You know, one is at the level of all the different people working here. You know, Swami said all of you should work together as one unit. The other unity, Sai Prakash already said about, where Swami said it's not about just two senses, it's about the unity of senses. So Swami spoke about the unity of senses. Swami spoke about the unity of all the people working here. Swami also spoke about the unity of all the different media forms, if I can say so. Because Swami said, don't tell that someone is only video, someone is only audio. It's not like that. Swami said, the work that you do, the skill sets that you have may be different, but all of them must be working together. And today when we look back at that statement, Prem, it makes so much more sense, because today we just have possibly the agenda to communicate. It's not like we are doing audio communication or video communication. We are finding the best possible means to communicate, and that communication takes a multimedia form. It can have audio, it can have pictures, it can have a video, it can have a, you know, just text that people have to read. So it's a mix of everything, and today, you know, we feel thrilled at what Swami had said there, that everything should come together. So this is another recurrent theme in Swami's visit to the studio, where he speaks of unity, as I said, different ways. One is unity between the people, unity in thought, word and deed, unity of the senses, unity of the different media forms. So that is one more recurrent theme from which we can derive many lessons.
Absolutely. I think being a means of communication based on technology, I think even us at this point, we are really thinking of communicating more through video than, you know, we started off initially more with text and audio. I think that kind of a change has happened in that sense. If you really look at it, Swami would often say this, and he talks about Shirdi Baba. At that time, his means of spreading his message and his stories was Dasganu Maharaj, right? He would, in fact, have sessions where he would make him stand and make him sing about his glories.
Kirtans
about him. I in fact, very, very fondly recall one incident which is there, which I think Dasganu Maharaj himself says. That the first time when he is asked to come and do a Harikatha kind of a session in front of Shirdi Baba, he comes dressed up in silk robes and wearing a huge garland with a turban. And Shirdi Baba looks at him and says, "What have you come here dressed up like a bridegroom? You know, you're going to speak about the Lord. You have to come simple," and makes him remove all those paraphernalia. He says, "You're a Kirtankara," and the first Harikatha exponent is Lord Sage Narada. Hmm. So you should come like him, simple like a sage. And thereafter he starts dressing up like that, you know, in, like a simple Brahmin, and starts giving. To contrast that, I remember the first time the Burakatha team did their performance in front of Swami. We have Brother Arvind Sai, who's part of our team. There was Brother Prabhakar and Raghuram. The three of them, when they first did, I think they were in undergraduate when they did, they came, I think, wearing some white kurta and very simply dressed. And Swami said, "Why have you come like this?" And the first thing Swami did was Swami called one of the boys and told them to go out and get garlands for these three boys. Mm. And Swami had them wear those garlands, and progressively, performance after performance, the kind of dressing that they had, you know, they would have makeup, they would wear, they would get their clothes stitched for that particular occasion. Swami would see, they would take the cloth to Swami, and Swami said, "No, this is not grand enough." So if you look at it, you know, the same Swami, the same Shirdi Baba, he was saying that, you know, you have to go with times. You're trying to, as Swami was saying, you are representing Swami, and it's a complete communication that you're doing. So I think that's what, when Swami says all of this should come together, and the motive should be to communicate best as possible. Not necessarily, be it in one particular form, or to say that it's got to be simple like this, it's got to be in this form. As best as possible, what has to be communicated, keeping intact the sacredness of what you're communicating, at the same time to ensure that it is communicated best as possible.
In fact, if you just go back in time, at that point in time when Swami made that statement, there was no internet. Like, internet was there, but in Prashantrilyam we had still not got internet at that time. And every broadcast of audio that had to be done, we were writing them into CDs and sending them to Melbourne.
Right.
So we had to make the CDs 1 week in advance. So those CDs will go and they'll be, put into a jukebox, which will actually play the playlist.
At that time, Radio Sai was just radio.
Just radio. Hmm. So Radio Sai was literally radio, and we were taking video, and the video was made into DVDs for sales from the book trust. So the video was separate. The audio was separate, and whatever articles and other things that were coming, they were coming out as booklets, they were coming out as books from the Books and Publications Trust. So when Swami said, you all should work together, at that time, it was kind of difficult, but then as internet came in, And you see there is no differentiation between text, audio and video. It's all on the same platform. It was like something very beautiful. Swami had revealed that this is how it's going to be.
I think even before the term media convergence became the hip term, Swami had already
told that this is, you know, before I forget, one more point which came to mind when you were talking about Trikarna Shuddhi, thought, word and deed, unity of thought, word and deed, and even the point on technology when Swami is actually seated here. You remember I told Swami, he was asking, what are these sensors?
Yeah, the fire alarm
sensors. So they told Swami, this is fire alarm and all that. Then Swami said, okay. And then the discussion continued. Towards the end, when they brought the aarti, Swami asked, now will it catch this fire?
Oh, yes.
Swami asked, now will it sense this fire? Then they explained to Swami, no, Swami, we can put it off. We have actually put off the... So the unity of thought, word and deed, means you see how practical, how much in the present moment Swami is always. Mm. On one hand, he said, he was talking about, when you're talking about technology and you're talking about this thing, he said, now will it catch the smoke? But on the other hand, when Swami was told that, Swami, we are bringing out these booklets of discourses immediately, Swami was not happy with it. Swami said, you're putting in effort. You're doing a lot of work. But what is happening in the process? There are many mistakes. So the practice at that time, they had started this instant discourse booklet. So the moment Swami's discourse would have ended, they would take the audio cassette and they would listen to it and they would transcribe it, translate it, proofread, then set the type print and then make booklets, because that is when the digital printing had just come in. So they would make discourse booklets and make it available the next day. So most of the people who are working on this would do a night out and they would really sit and go through it the whole night and do it. Swami said, it's all right. You're able to give it the next day. That's fine. But at the cost of what? At what cost? Like, there are many mistakes. Then Swami, and very sweetly Swami said, sometimes translator is making mistake. Sometimes I am also making mistakes. Yeah,
very sweet.
And Swami was, you know, telling, sometimes I am also making mistakes. The words are very important. You should listen to Swami and mananam cheyali. He actually used the word mananam cheyali. You should keep contemplating on what Swami has said. Only then you can translation is very, very, very important, Swami told. See, that is not instant. That is not instant. See, there again, this unity of all the five senses come. Unless you have everything aligned to understanding those words of Swami, unless you are ready to get that message of Swami, the right word will not come out. No technology can actually substitute that. Swami once, in one of the interviews, before we got this job, Swami called. So I was there with the Vice Chancellor, Professor Venkatraman, and the Registrar and everybody. Swami asked this question, what is technology? And everybody knew that Swami is going to give an alternate answer. But I was the youngest, so I said, Swami himself says it is technology. Hey, neen cheppinde malli cheptav. He said, what I keep telling, you are repeating the same thing. What do you understand about technology? So then we all kept quiet. And Swami gave a simple but very profound answer. He says, the work which is supposed to be done by humans, if machines start doing it, that is technology. So, coming back to this particular episode of translation of Swami's discourses, no matter what Google Translate you have today, what technology comes, whatever may happen, unless the person who is translating the discourses is completely steeped into, Swami's philosophy and Swami's teachings, the right word will not come.
That's why spirituality, I think, can't be replaced with technology.
Exactly, can't be replaced.
Talking about explanation of technology, we know that Swami's play of words, technology. There's another play of words for the same explanation. Very, very beautiful. I think again in a gathering of students, Swami asked this. And Swami said, see, there is knowledge if you misuse the knowledge, it becomes strict knowledge.
Mm.
But the same knowledge, you say, take knowledge. You share that knowledge, it becomes technology.
Technology, beautiful.
Right? So I'm saying using the knowledge that you have for the benefit of others is technology. Using it to cheat others is technology. So I mean, you know, very good. And going back to that fire sensor, I think another beautiful interaction which happened was, you know, when Swami, as typically you can see, if you just see the video, Swami is just blessing every equipment and every setup which is there. Absolutely, you know, when Swami uses that word, anasakti, Swami will tell, you know, total indifference and detachment towards everything.
Right.
Swami is constantly saying, romba sandosham, romba sandosham. And, you know, it's absolutely nothing to, when Swami says, I have nothing to gain from here, you can see that from Swami's body language. And when Swami pointed at this fire alarm, Swami was asking, what is this? Mr. Gopal Srinivasan explained, Swami, this is a fire alarm, it will alert. And he said, if there is a fire here, in the security room, there will be a bell which will go off. The phone will start ringing there or something like that. He says, instantly Swami looks at him and says, very good, you've made all these arrangements. Even though I don't need this, see, when you take up something, are you thinking of it from all the angles and doing the right thing?
Correct.
Swami was so happy when he said, Swami said, very good, you've thought of all of these and made this arrangement. I'm very happy. I think that's a very, very important message for all of us.
As you know, we mentioned in the beginning, Swami was literally praising Mr. Gopal Srinivasan a lot. And Swami was telling him, he has so many other commitments.
Right.
But he has left all that. He comes every week, he travels from Chennai to here. Why? It is out of his love and interest that he's doing. Swami goes to the extent of saying that you all should have gratitude to Gopal Srinivasan for having set up this place. The only way you can express your gratitude is if you work well. If you work well and if you do your job well, then he will feel encouraged. Utsaham atandi, utsaham kuda pungi potade, it will increase. His utsaham, enthusiasm will increase. And when his enthusiasm increases, he will come back again and he will do more.
And I think that is the objective of Swami's visit also. Just to increase everyone's utsaham.
Exactly.
And whether it's a visit to this place, visit to any other place, establishment of anything, it's all about that. And I would like to go back to again that point about quality. In fact, Swami says, if you do that translation and printing of booklets in a hurry, Swami says, I have been reading it in the Sanatan Sarthi. He said, not Sanatan Sarthi. Like Sanatan Sarthi size only, you are making something else. That one. Obviously referring to the booklet. And I think Swami is talking to Sai Prakash only there. And he's telling that, you know, walk, what is the spelling? W-A-L-K.
Mm.
It comes as W-A-K.
Mm.
Yeah, Swami is saying there. Swami is saying, instead of book, they put cook. I have seen. And Swami is like, you know, telling, I have only seen. I have seen, you can check. So like this, there should be no hurry. Swami says, you should pick a person who has good command over Telugu. And also has good command over English.
Right.
And in spite of that, Swami says, keep a dictionary handy.
Mm.
Check for the word that gives perfect meaning. I think, you know, we have discovered this with our own experience. Like when we look at Swami's Premavahini in Telugu, vis-a-vis Swami's Premavahini in English, we see that there is possibly a chance for improvement in translation because some Sanskrit words, depending on the context in which they are used, and depending, they have different meanings, and using the same word, you know, you can't forever say that this word means this.
Correct.
Shuddhi means purity. Throughout, if you use, Shuddhi can mean cleanliness, it can mean purity. So that's why Swami says, keep a thesaurus, keep a dictionary nearby, look and use the perfect word in place. So it is amazing, and what touched me a lot, and really, you know, it is so beautiful, so sweet of Swami, was what you already mentioned. Swami is saying that, you know, I'll also be making mistakes, so be a little careful about that. You know, this is so sweet. The other instance I remember is when Swami is speaking of his childhood. Swami says that he had to go for the Pushpagiri fair. And at that time, all the hardships that he faced. And we know that story of how Swami multiplied one ana into 12 anas by playing that gambling game. And then he said, no, 12 anas is enough for me, so he stopped. If he wanted, he could have got very rich there. But you know, after narrating this, in the discourse, Swami says that, see, that is one mistake I did. I mean, when Swami says that, you feel, Swami, what, that is the only thing small, why you have to tell that out, you know? But no, that is, I think, is the divine humility. When you see yourself in everyone, there is nothing like embarrassment or nothing like putting yourself down. It's nothing like that. And that same thing is seen here also. It is so sweet of Swami to say that, you know, my mistakes are also there. So you have to be careful. Everyone makes mistakes. Actually, what becomes clear is because of the speed, the torrential flow when Bhagwan is giving discourses, Professor Anil Kumar sir or any other translator will not be able to match it. And there's definitely going to be some errors. But when Swami is saying that, you know, Swami is saying that, yeah, I also make mistakes. So it's like saying that I'm not pointing out the mistakes, but you have to do with quality because what is most important for me is quality. In fact, Swami makes that statement saying, I want only quality, not quantity. Quality.
Yes, three times. Another beautiful aspect of this whole thing, of course, Swami didn't mention it here when he came, but Swami has spoken to Professor Venkatraman that in my discourses, only Adhyatmikam is important. The spiritual message is important. That is what you should put on Radio Sai. All references to any personal incidents or, you know, comments made for the occasion, which are for a particular occasion, he says those are not Shashvatam, that is not for permanent. The spiritual content which is there, that is what is permanent and that is what should be put. So, you know, right from the signature tune of Radio Sai, right from that hand-picking every person who's working here, and visiting this campus, visiting the studio, blessing every corner, going through every... Because here, this is one job where you're directly working with Swami's voice, with Swami's images, with Swami's videos. I mean, this is the greatest blessing, isn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, I remember, you know, because it's almost time to close... Possibly this, there are many, many other points, but this point I want to bring it in because Swami says there, just before concluding and receiving Aarti, Swami says, you do your work well, I will come again.
Yes.
You know, physically, possibly Swami didn't visit the studio again, but I just feel that it is Swami's assurance to all of us that know that whenever you have done your work well, I am there. And I think this is such a beautiful assurance. As well as a motivator for us, because we give in our best, we can be assured that Swami is there sitting on the chair, listening to us or watching us or, you know, experiencing whatever we are narrating and sharing here.
In fact, I think last month when we had the Telugu anniversary, I think that's what even all the participants, the volunteers who had come, they were saying, you know, they were here for the day long live as part of the Telugu anniversary. They were like saying that it's palpable, Swami's presence in the studio when they were sat here for a few hours. You know, some of the main presenters were inside the studio for many hours. They said, we're not feeling any fatigue. We're not, we can feel that the vibrations are so very powerful here. We're able to think of Swami with such one-pointedness sitting here. I mean, probably we're getting too used to it and we don't sense it so much.
Familiarity breeds neglect.
Right. But I think it's so very true. In fact, one of our teachers, I might have mentioned this before, used to train us for public speaking when we were in the hostel. You know, that used to be a part of the regular schedule in the hostel. Almost every student is encouraged to pick up this habit of speaking in public. So he would say this, that when they were students, Swami had told them, or I think one of the elders had told them, that, you know, when you go and stand in front of Swami and we are trying to speak about Swami, when you go with the right intention of trying to share something that Swami has said, something that Swami has said which has touched you, he would say that when you go and stand there, there are many, many divine and noble spirits which do not have a physical body to communicate their joy and their understanding of what Swami wants us to follow. They would come and they would try to communicate through you. And that's why you will start thinking of points that you've not thought of. You will get insights which you never had before. And when you're trying to communicate, all that will flow through you. And I think for many of us, that's been the experience sitting here. You know, some things which you've never thought of before. We have gone through these points before. Of course, we do a little bit of a homework, but we end up saying things which we didn't think of. Clearly, it is. You know, it's something with the place. I think Sai Prakash will agree with me, especially as part of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. You know, there are some topics which are absolutely alien to us.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yes.
You don't pick those topics. When you take a discourse, you don't have a choice. You have to go through the whole thing, right?
Possibly later in the day when you're doing your Vahini Satsang also, I think you have picked up one such topic which is quite difficult.
Right.
For today.
Yeah, for today's, I think, as part of a special broadcast at 7:30. Some of these things which Swami has written is phenomenal. I think more than anything else, it's an opportunity, as Saprakash was saying, to go back to Swami's words, to go back to Swami's images, to go back to Swami's videos. I think that is one of the greatest blessings all of us have had.
I think Radio Sai here is just the, you know, it is a center. But there are so many people all over the world, all over India, who are doing the same kind of, the same nature of work that we are doing here. And I think all these discussions and, you know, Swami's direct guidance, what he has given when he visited here, is so relevant to everybody. I mean, what did Swami say? Don't have differences. Don't have differences. Work together. Unity is strength. Then he says, it's not just the technical knowledge. It's not just this thing. Absorb, learn. Our samastha is, you know, integration of all the five senses. So you have to be really involved in what you're doing. And then he said,
one point that I remember, you know, yes. Very interesting is Swami calls Venkatraman sir as the watchman of the place.
Yes. You know, and who is the watchman?
And everybody says, Swami, you. Swami says, no, that is spiritually. That's another beautiful thing, which means Swami agrees that I am the spiritual watchman. But from the worldly sense, Venkatraman is your watchman. And Swami also defines the role of the watchman. It is so important. Swami says, the watchman will watch all your thoughts. And he will encourage and he will ensure that he doesn't do anything that dampens your enthusiasm.
Yes.
I think that's such a powerful message for all the leaders or going to be leaders or want to be leaders, where Swami says that this is the job of the, you know, the sweet term that he uses, watchman. The thing is, Swami also calls himself the watchman. He says, yeah, I am the spiritual watchman.
Correct.
Because that is what he does at the spiritual level. He watches our thoughts and wherever we have enthusiasm, the right enthusiasm, he fosters it, he grows it, he ensures that a little seed of enthusiasm grows into a mighty banyan of effort, just like the hospital has grown, just like Radio Sai has grown.
In fact, one aspect which really is very beautiful about Radio Sai, the way it has grown, step by step, when Swami came here, Swami told one of the seniors, Swami said, you understand the work that is being done. You understand what kind of work that has to be, and let the boys also pick up. And after that, if they need anything, you tell me, I will give. Whatever is needed, you tell me, I will give. And this is something which, you know, has always happened in Radio Sai. Of course, all we need to do is close our eyes and pray to Swami. Swami, this is something we need. And from nowhere, I'll just maybe, because time is really running out, let us just conclude with one or two small things. You know, when before this place was modified, it was earlier a huge lecture hall.
Right.
This building was a lecture hall, and this partition was already put earlier, before we moved into this building in 2001. It was being used as a center for cassette replication, audio cassette replication, etc. So somebody had already put this partition. And outside this iconic slope that we have on the building.
Right.
So there is a small ledge on the edge of that slope, and it is to be written audio visual center. It's a small, letters it is to be written audio visual center. Now what happened in 2001, October we joined, and just before the birthday, we were first given the earliest version of Premiere. That was the video editing software. And we were just picking up the software and, you know, it was already so much to take in. You had to pick up the software. The systems were slow. How are we going to capture the video, edit? So much we were picking up. Suddenly, in the enthusiasm, we were brought another software called Avid. So Avid had just come out into the market, and it was an advanced software. And the philosophy and the way Avid was working as a video editing system was completely different and opposite to what Premiere was at that time. So the technicians came, they installed the system, and I was sitting right here, and I said, Swami, now what to do? How do we? I don't even know how to start the software, because the whole approach was different. Whole approach was different. And I just prayed to Swami. I said, Swami, we need somebody to just guide us. I need somebody to guide me to at least get started on the software.
And lo and behold, literally lo and behold, you will not believe it. This was afternoon. I was just stepping out of the studio to go home for lunch. And there was a young German standing right outside the studio. Literally outside the studio, because this text audio visual center caught his attention.
Oh.
He was standing right there, and it is such a small this thing. He was standing. He said, "What kind of work goes on here?" And I said, "See, mainly it is audio because we run RadioSci as a radio channel. We are just beginning to do some video work." "Oh, what software are you using?" I said, "We were using Premiere. We just got. I am Avid Expert. I said, "Forget lunch today. Please come in." Literally. On the, you know, he was there waiting for me. Just sent a prayer to Swami and walked out. He's standing there. So this is how, this is repeated several times.
Yes. And this each is one of us in our own way.
Yeah, in several different ways. So, I mean, this is a word that, this is the message that we would like to give to all the Sai centers. There are limitations. There are problems. There are problems of resources. There are problems of equipment. There are problems of time, of money, of everything. But just pray to Swami. Tell him what you want. And at the right time, the right thing, the right person will always be sent.
You know, come to think of it, it just struck me now. I don't know if it struck you before, that Swami has also prepared this building in that sense. You know, this was a EHV building.
Right.
Before that, it's a satsang hall. You know, not even in that sense, even in a metaphysical sense, this building has been prepared for the task that it is going to undertake, which is becoming the headquarters of RadioSci. So it's so thrilling to know that, like every other, you know, institution that Swami has built, even this too, Swami has done the conception, the planning, even much before the actual, you know, it's thrilling to know that, you know, people like Hislop and Kasturi, they have all spoken here.
Right.
In its earlier form. And then it was the EHV building, you know, a building that is meant to be the center for human values. And that has today transformed into RadioSci. Like as Sai Prakash said, dear listeners, in RadioSci, the most important term is that Sai there. Because without that Sai, it's just a radio. So it is that Sai that gives life. It is the Sai that energizes us, thrills us. And we are eternally grateful to Swami. We will keep visiting that day every year possibly, because it is so thrilling what he has done for us. On that note, dear listeners, we will end this satsang. We enjoyed it a lot, and we hope that you too enjoyed it. We will end with
I think again a historical production of RadioSci. This is from Bhavanjali 1.
Oh, okay.
I think, which again you had the opportunity to give it to Swami directly. And,
directly
at Yajur Mandir.
Yes.
Yajur Mandir. And interestingly, we're going to play for you the song which was again sung by one of our team members. It's in Brother Sunil's voice.
Okay.
I think all our listeners are familiar with him. The RadioSci starts with his announcement, ends with his announcement.
Correct.
So here's a bhajan in his voice.
On Goddess Saraswati, I think.
Goddess Saraswati, Bhavanjali 1, which we had the opportunity to do, press in directly to Swami. On the other side of it, dear listeners, the program Love to Love will resume. Thank you all for joining us, and we also take this opportunity to express our gratitude to each one of you for your continued love and support to RadioSci. And we'll meet you again next week as part of the next episode of Afternoon Satsang at 12:30 next Thursday. Jai Sai Ram.
Saraswati, Devi Saraswati. Saraswati, Devi Saraswati. Saraswati, Devi Saraswati. Vani Veena Saraswati. Vani Veena Saraswati. Vani Veena Saraswati. Brahma ब्रह्ममयि
Saraswati.